Nikki speaking.
Hello, Nikki Moffat. It's Kirsty.
Ah, Kirsty Rice. How are you? Actually, Kirsty Rice, where are you?
I'm back in Qatar, finally. I know, it's been a bloody long time, but I was busy settling the girls into school and waiting for the Wi-Fi man to come and connect my house to the outside world. But I'm back. I'm back in Qatar.
Perfect. Well, good for you, because the fatties are getting restless. We've had messages from all sorts of people. Jane, Gina and Amanda are all checking on us and wanting to know what's going on. So I think they want their podcast back.
Okay, should we do it then?
Yeah, let's get on with it.
Okay, now guys, Nikki and I have been talking and we reckon it's time to switch things up a bit. We've had four seasons of Two Fat Expats where we've covered everything from expat marriage, expat death, expat money and expat schooling and repatriation. We've covered a lot. We've also thrown in a gazillion movie and podcast and telly tips. You and I have talked about this for a couple of months, Nikki, and I reckon we've come up with a great new format. Do you want to tell everyone how the podcast is going to look this year?
Okay, so we've gone back through the archives and we've looked at all your favourite episodes and the same themes have come up each time.
Sex?
Yeah. Okay, no. Okay, our fatties have a little bit more substance than that. They also like their podcasts with gin and a good holiday destination. No, but seriously, fat expat listeners love talking about great expat locations, expat money, expat family and kids, and the latest in expat technology. So that's what we're going to do. So every episode we'll cover those topics and we'll continue to meet other expats along the way.
Yep. So every week you'll know the general categories but not necessarily the details. We want our listeners, and that's you guys. Yep, you in the car or you on your treadmill or wherever you may be, to dial in and give us some tips or chime in with your thoughts. And you know how to do that, right?
It's easy peasy. On our website, follow the prompts. There's a microphone on the side of the page and that's how you do it.
But we're going to keep telling you that over and over and over until you do it. But I digress. Nikki, back to the new format.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have six broad subjects and they'll pretty much cover everything that's in our world. So the first one, favorite of yours, Kirsty, geographic schizophrenia.
Yeah, I've been banging on about it for years.
Okay, and then expat relationships could be partners, friends, families, and or lovers.
So many lovers.
There'll also be expat tech. What do you use? What makes it easier for you in your expat world? And, of course, how could we forget the kids? Expat kids, how are we doing in that field? Are we making messes or are we steering steady?
Now, I continue to screw up my children on a regular basis. That's why I've split half of our family in one country and half in the other. Just makes it a little bit more interesting.
And expat money. It's time to talk more about it, Kirsty. Increasingly, there are questions in the group and people are actually interested in what others are doing. So we're going to break the taboos and we're going to talk about dollars, reals, euros, and baht.
I can't wait to talk about money, 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 money.
Oh, and I don't like it. So that's why it's going to be a good thing that we're going to be talking about it. And then last but not least, location, location, location. So where are you right now? Where are you going? Where are you coming from? Dealing with all the issues about where your expat life is right now. So every episode will cover all these things. We might just do a deep dive into one or two of the topics and sometimes we might not. Anyway, the options are endless and the new format lets us explore them all.
Love it. So let's get started, shall we, with geographical schizophrenia. Now, Nikki, what's your definition of geographical schizophrenia?
So for me, it means switching between the familiar and the unfamiliar. So feeling at home, you know, in a country that's not my passport country, but also feeling strange in my passport country. So when you don't know how to use the self-checkout or how to use PayWave or when you're sitting on a beach in another country thinking about something that happened on another beach on another continent at another time. So I think more and more for me, my idea of geographical schizophrenia is the old place and time in your life. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I guess for me too, geographical schizophrenia for me has always been that feeling of being in one place but kind of yearning for another, but also knowing that if I went to that place, I'd be thinking about the place I used to be. So it can be sort of deep and it can be shallow. It can be as deep as yearning to be back in my mum's kitchen talking about family traditions, but it can be as shallow as, you know, last week I was in Australia, it was 45 degrees and I'm outside wearing my bathers while I'm taking the rubbish out on the street. And now suddenly this week I'm in Qatar wearing jeans and I'd possibly get arrested if I walked out to the street in my bathers. Not to mention, I don't even know how to put the bin out here. I live in a compound and I have no idea how the bins even get emptied.
Yes, and it's not just you, Kirsty. I noticed you posted something on the Two Fat Expats Facebook group and then everyone chimed in with their experiences of landing back in their expat location and feeling a little geographically challenged. Here's Marie.
We lived in South Korea for about 4.5 years. And not all, but some of the sinks have a footplate. You know where the kickboard is under the kitchen cabinet that the sink's in?
Right.
There's a little footplate on the floor next to the kickboard, and when you tap it with your toe, it turns the water on.
Wow.
You leave the tap, the faucet, the tap, however people call it, you leave it turned on permanently.
Right.
And then when you've got a big pan that you want to do pasta in, you know, with two handles.
Yes.
You can put the pan under the tap, tap the floor, the kickboard,
yeah,
pedal, and the tap comes on. And when you've got enough water in the pan, you tap the little pedal floor pad again and the water goes off.
Right. And so
it's not, you know, it just sounds funny. Like I said, the girlfriend who I won't name, she said, I've got visions of you with your leg up on the sink. I miss it so much. I went home back end of last year and I'm with my foot. Where's the water? And we're currently in Spain and I'm doing the self same thing. I'm standing at the sink. Where's the water?
Trying to kick it with your foot.
It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. And you don't realise how you get used to things.
That's right.
It's just one of those things.
I love Sarah's response. She was in the Two Fat Expats Facebook group and she's recently repatriated. She said she'd had a brand new car for 2 weeks in Australia and she ended up having to call roadside assistance because she forgot to turn the ignition off and ran the battery down. And that was after she'd called the salesman on his personal mobile at 7 p.m. on a Saturday night to ask why it wouldn't start, which is gold. So, Nikki, you sort of think maybe you don't feel that same geographical schizophrenia as I do. You've got your own theories behind that.
When it comes to geographical schizophrenia, I don't experience it in quite the same way that you do, I don't think. I mean, my kids are all in the same country for now and we don't have a home base elsewhere really, but it certainly has its moments. But now, Kirsty, what everyone wants to know is about your new home base.
Oh.
So can we talk about your house now?
Yeah. So for anyone who's new, we have kept a house in Australia for the last sort of 8 years. So I've been an expat for 19 years and for the first sort of 11 of those years, I guess we would do what a lot of expats do, and that's come home and just, you know, traipse out, live out of a suitcase and go from granny to granny's house. But we decided when we moved to Qatar that we'd form a base in Australia. So we picked a sort of beachside location about 45 minutes out of Adelaide and we sort of made a little base there. And it was very much a lock and leave, easy to maintain, you know, come and go, sort of more like, a townhouse. But over the years, we would walk past this, you know, big vacant block of land that was empty on the way to the beach and sort of dream and think about what we would build there. And when I was diagnosed with breast cancer a few years ago, well, I think it was a couple of years ago. Is that terrible? I can't actually remember when I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
But you know, that is so lovely that you don't have to and that you don't think about it like that. Like it's not burned in your brain.
Yeah.
Good attitude.
I guess it was a few years ago. So I'm thinking it was, So it was right when I started working for the Barefoot Investor. So, yeah, and I've been with him a few years. So, but basically when that happened, we purchased the land, which was scary, but it also gave us this really big positive that we were doing something looking forward and we were going to build this house. So I think for the first year we kind of talked to architects and spoke to builders and thought about plans, and then last April the slab was laid, and then in December we moved into our brand spanking new house.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And it is. It is lovely. It's just we've built this very Australian style home, and the idea was based on a wool shed. And so there's a lot of timber, a lot of timber decking, but a lot of glass, and it's all made out of galv, that sort of galvanized iron. So it's incredible because we have this spot in Australia now where each of our children has their own room, which they've never ever had in all of our expat travels. No one's ever had their own room. And you know, we have this space, and it was just quite an incredible thing to have Christmas in our own house in Australia with, you know, 30 close friends and family and entertain like that, and just go, wow, we have this space. We have this fantastic sort of home base. Expat relationships. Now, my thing about coming back here after these 10 weeks apart is it's getting back into the groove of your relationship, because, you know, Greg and I started off incredibly well in the fact that, and I say that with tongue firmly planted in cheek, he came to pick me up at the airport and I'd already jumped in a cab and it was 4 a.m. in the morning. So you couldn't say we were gelling, right? Like it was like, oh, great, we're off to a flying start. And then we have one night together before he takes off to Oman because one of our sons had a rugby tournament. And what I've really noticed since I've got back is he's sort of organized all these dinners and get-togethers with other couples, because he's obviously kind of really missed being part of a couple while he's been here. What about you? You know, like your husband used to travel a lot. How do you find you sort of gel together in that way?
Yeah, well, he used to travel a lot and that was good. That was better for us. No, it's fine. He doesn't travel so much now, but he works incredibly long hours because the company's going through this integration project. So they've been taken over, and then the people that, you know, are still there have to do, depending on what you're doing, I guess, have to do this incredible amount of work. And he just seems to be working these really long hours. So he might as well be traveling, really. He just wants to come home, have dinner and just quiet time and go to bed. But I'm interested, when you're away, how often do you talk to Greg when you're away?
Every day.
Like, is it more or less than the kids, or do you talk to the kids every day as well?
No, we do. We talk every day, but it can be really difficult. And I'd love to hear other people's thoughts on this, in that it's that quality, you don't have that quality of chat. So how it works for us with the time difference is Australia is about 8 or 9 hours in front. So I get up in the morning and they're all in bed fast asleep. And so I get to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the phone call comes through. It'll be my youngest, and he'll be not FaceTiming because we can't FaceTime anymore. And that's the thing with Qatar. We no longer have WhatsApp, Skype or FaceTime because they all just sort of disappeared at the at around the same time that we had our issues with Saudi. So how it works in Australia now is everybody has a VPN and they're using all sorts of different things, but we use something called House Party. So I'll get the call from my son and he'll be sitting at breakfast. And you know what it's like with kids. Some mornings they're happy, chirpy, ready to go. Some mornings they're not so happy, chirpy. So I know I'm going to get greeted by either this really grumpy, you know, that his brother's done something to him, or his brother was gross, or his brother farted in his face, or because his brother's, you know, 14 and his brother loves to do these things to torment him. Or I'm going to get this really happy, beautiful, I'm so excited, today's my favorite day at school. You know, I have flute and then I've got drama and then I've got, you know, social studies and all the things that he loves. So then you've got your husband in the background and you can hear the dogs barking and the lunches are trying to get ready and, you know, there's that guilt that you're not there. So I don't know. While technology is fantastic, you know, it doesn't replace you being there in the room, does it?
Yeah, it reminds you of what you're missing at the same time as you know, where you are as
yeah.
well. That's why, yeah, I'm not into video, but we can talk about that later.
No, I'm not into video. I'm into video with my kids and husband, but I know what you mean. Video is hard with everybody else. And I find that at work because I work in the same way, you know, at Barefoot, we're all in different locations. And we now use Zoom to communicate and where we're all in a different room. And, yeah, it took me a long time to get used to the fact that I was going to see everyone from the office because we used to just talk on Skype, what do you call it, voice, not video. We all just use voice. And it didn't matter. You could be in your pajamas. You could be walking into the kitchen to make a coffee while you talked, whereas now we're all sort of sitting at our desk and everyone's got their lipstick on. And it's quite funny. I'll quite often say to a colleague, you know, I'll say to a colleague, oh my God, it's, you know, 7:30 for you in Perth, you know, in the morning. How do you look so good? And she'll stand up and show me that while she's got her lipstick on and a reasonable jacket, she's kind of like a sports commentator. She's got, you know, her active at the bottom. But what is it that you don't like about video?
Well, I find it difficult, same kind of thing. I don't need to look at people, you know, do I have to make sure my hair's brushed or, you know, I don't like photos of myself, so I definitely don't like videos of myself. But also, you know, if it's, you know, my mother-in-law is a tiny bit technically challenged. So, you know, often we'll have Skype sessions which may last 20 or 30 minutes and she has no sound or she's upside down on the screen or there's all this kind of stuff. It's much easier, and I love her, love you so, I love you so much, but it's so much easier to just do calls and even just messaging. Like my kids have, my daughter, my son's not so communicative, but my daughter has WhatsApp channels. She just talks with both her grandparents like separately. She has whole separate conversations with them. She sends them photos of things when she wants to show them stuff. So it's not up for me all the time. I don't feel that I have to write sort of lengthy emails or messages or explain everything that's going on at home because, you know, I've got some kids backing me up now on that side.
But you know that grandma thing though is universal because I do the same with my mum where she's holding her iPad literally straight up her nose while I talk to her. And I remember we had friends who were Canadian and the husband used to get so upset because his mother-in-law would Skype them after she'd taken her bra off for the evening and evidently she had like these gigantic bosoms that were just sort of resting on the laptop while she was talking. But I agree with you about kids and them being able to have the channels of communication and being able to talk that way. And one of the beautiful things about House Party is we just have a room and for the six of us, and I think it's called the Super Six or something. And, you know, I've got a screenshot of where I can see G, my husband's in the office, and then I can see one of my girls is in the boarding house and another one of my girls is out, and then I've got a son who's at school and a son who's home from school. You can see all the different variations of us and we're all sort of talking and quite animated. And That bit I absolutely love. I also love that my guys, between the four of them, they call themselves the Core Four. And I love seeing them all communicate via messenger to each other as well. It's beautiful.
It's like the Brady Bunch a bit.
It is. It is exactly like the Brady Bunch. That is exactly what it looks like. Nikki, next topic. This one is going to be a really big one for me this year. Expat money. Spending it, saving it, how much do you talk about it? I want to really get into this year and talk a lot more about it because, as you sort of said earlier, there's a lot more chatter in our Facebook group about expat money and people trying to work their way around things. I have decided that this is the year that I'm going to get on top of expat money. And when I say that, I mean I'm married to an economist, and I have been very irresponsible in I leave a lot of the admin side up to him, which gives him a lot of angst and grief because he has to do it. And I've decided this is the year I'm going to take control of it and I'm going to be more responsible about money. Tonight we are working on our expat budget because I reckon an expat budget is really different to an everyday budget, but we can talk about that more next week. But Nikki, you and money, I noticed a chill ran through the airwaves when we were talking about money before.
I don't love talking about it. We have problems in our house. I do the admin and I'm not perhaps as organized perhaps as your current administrator. And I just, you know, in our house, we have difficulties discussing finances. I mean, we don't. We talk about it, but we don't have regular. About once a year, we say we're going to sit down once a month and review everything, and then that lasts for a couple of months, and we both let it go. So I'm with you, Kirsty. I'm here for the year. I'm here to get on top of it and to talk about it. And, you know, because I think in the olden days, people used to think, oh, well, you know, what have expats got to worry about? And companies used to offer sort of quite good incentives for people to move overseas and work for their company for a period of time. And so you sort of didn't have to worry about it that much. You know, there were accountants and there were all sorts of things and you just sort of said, okay, that's all sorted. But I think now that's happening less and less and people are having to do more of their own, you know, research and thought processes and you know, make decisions about how to spend that money in ways that they probably might not have had to do before. So I think it's an excellent topic. I think we're just going to be right on it. It's going to be great, really great.
Okay, so I'll be back next time to talk about the expat budget that I went through with my husband tonight. So we'll have that for next time. But also, Nikki, we're talking about expat kids and how we're screwing them up week by week. I think I'm leading in the screw up stakes at the moment with my children spread across different countries and how we sort of work out, you know, I think, you know, I feel like I'm continually trying to keep one lot of children happy while not ignoring the other lot of children, if that makes sense, and giving equal time. But every time I do this, I think about my lovely friend Doreena. I have a wonderful friend, Doreena Walsh, who's in KL, and she's been an expat for longer than I have, and she has managed to raise three gorgeous, beautiful children. And I had written a big comment on the Four Kids, 20 Suitcases and a Beagle Facebook page, which is where I blog. I was sitting on the bleachers at my son's baseball game. I had another son who was on his way to rugby in to play in Oman with my husband. I had one child who had hopped on a bus to go to my mother's house. She'd gone to Granny's for the weekend in Remark, and I had another child who had been at the PTA picnic and then was going into the Adelaide Fringe to watch a show. So, I mean, really I couldn't ask for more with what the girls were doing and that everybody was happy and everyone was busy, but it still, you know, left me with this ache that we weren't all together. And the lovely Doreena left me a note that said, You know, Kirsty, none of it makes sense, but somehow we make it work. She said, we are 15 years further on, meaning that they're 15 years further on than us. And the great news is we are still a family. We love each other and we're still making it work. We're lucky enough to get together for Christmas and a few times during the year. And the crazy hasn't changed. Don't worry that you're somehow damaging your children. You're not. Don't worry that your lifestyle isn't normal. It's not, but that's okay. I wouldn't change one single thing about our journey as a family. Just relax. You're good.
Oh, that's so lovely.
It is so lovely. And, you know, the reason I do, because while I haven't blogged that much, I have sort of maintained the Facebook page with little updates and stories and tidbits of what we're up to. And one of the reasons I do it is because I need Doreenas in my life, right, to tell me that it's going to be okay. And I know that when my kids were toddlers and we, you know, there was one stage where we just moved constantly. It felt like every 2 years we were on the move again and again and again, sometimes every year. And I did worry so much about, you know, what I was doing with the kids. And I wanted someone 10 years down the track, you know, to say, hey, it's going to be okay. You just keep cracking along because you'll be okay. I don't know. How are you feeling? How are you going with your kids?
Oh, well, I'd love some more space between them. You see, you all worry about yours being in different countries. That's my dream for my children to be in different countries. So this week they're off school because it's ski week. I mean, who lives in a country where they call the break? The newsletter said, have a great ski week. I'm like, yeah, we're not going skiing. It's my son's birthday. He's asked not to go anywhere for this week. He just wants to stay at home. So we let him do it. We decided that's a good idea. So this week I'm skiing.
I need to go back. So ski week is, are you telling me in Germany they actually designate a week so that all families can go skiing?
Well, they don't designate it. Well, it's break. I guess in other countries you'd call it, I don't even know what kind of break you'd call it, winter break maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's just known as ski week because most people go skiing. Wow. And the German schools are off a different week because we're on a different timetable, obviously. But it's pretty much, I saw our neighbours who have five children traipsing up and down to their storeroom in the attic on last weekend, getting all their skis down and everything. So, yes, I guess ski week is definitely a thing.
Okay, Nikki, the other thing we're going to talk about in our newly formatted podcast is expat locations. Tell me, do you love or hate where you are this week, Nikki Moffat?
Oh, my God. Can I tell you? I love it.
Oh,
I love it. Something's happened. Hamburg has changed for me, totally. So we've had two whole weeks, and I just don't know that's ever been in recorded history of Hamburg. It's been 2 weeks of sunshine. And on the days where there isn't sunshine, there's snow and not rain. And so it's so awesome. And it's freezing cold because obviously sunshine means clear skies and clear skies mean winter cold. But I'm so happy to have cold weather and snow rather than clouds and rain. So I am loving Hamburg. We had visitors. They were here for 4 days and they saw snow three times and sunny skies three times in one day. And it was sunny the rest of the time. So they think Hamburg's a great place. They're off to evangelize for us.
Is it getting to you though? Like, I mean, how long have you been in Hamburg for now?
So I think we're 18 or 19 months in now, 18 months. But for me, I mean, we went to Bali for nearly 3 weeks over Christmas and that was just what I needed. You know, I got all my vitamin D, I felt better, I got sunshine, it was warm the whole time. So that was fantastic. And then we came back to not fabulous weather, but the last 2 weeks, it just changes the way you feel. It changes the way I feel about everything, sunshine. I'm such a sun baby, as my husband calls me. We went for a walk yesterday, he and I. We do a Sunday morning walk, just the grown-ups, and we go around the Ulster only because our kids don't want to come. And we walk around the Ulster, and there were thousands of people doing it yesterday because it was sunny. And on the way back, we walked past the building, and there was a wall, and, you know, because the sun was shining on the wall, I said, just stand here with me for a minute. He said, you're crazy. It's -2. I said, I know, but it's sunny right here. It's warm. Anyway, yeah. So I'm loving the sun.
I'm the same.
What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I need that sunshine as well.
But I just wanted to ask you, because, you know, this is where you and I have got a very different expat existence, in that I've got this constant draw back to Australia. And, you know, we've talked about this before, where we've sort of taken two different paths of, you know, I've made a choice to send, yep, send the kids back to Australia. We've had a house back there, and we've missed a lot of the holidays that probably you guys have had, because you've had the focus of, all right, well, we're going to go to Italy and we're going to, you know, go and see more things and do more things, whereas we haven't. So how do you, when you are such a sun-kissed girl, how are you coping without going back to Australia? And did you get your Australia fix in Bali? I know that sounds ridiculous, but there's so many Australians in Bali and there's so many signs of Australia in Bali. Like, was that a little mini Australia fix in some way?
Well, certainly a family fix.
Yes.
So, so the idea of going to Bali, which I think was a good way, it was my husband's idea, and he said, you know, for 14 years, every second Christmas, just about, we've gone home. Or every second year, we've gone home for a period of time. And no one's ever come to us as a group. You know, we always go and we make the effort and we travel to all the different families and all the different places and all the different states and everything. So he decided that he wanted to do a family Christmas somewhere else, and that he wanted the whole family to come. So my side and his side, and, you know, not really normal. You usually sort of keep your family separate. So we went, and we had 2 weeks with my whole family, with my dad and my brother and his family, and then sort of 8 days as well with Sam's mum and his sister and her family. So at one stage there were 16 of us in a villa, which was fantastic. It actually was very good. But it was, there was no pressure. You know, there was no pressure. We didn't have to leave. So it was time that my kids got with their grandparents that was, and their aunts and uncles and cousins, that was 24/7. You know, like, we weren't just going for dinner or, you know, stopping in, or it was actually, it was really good. And by the end, I think everyone was very happy to leave. But they all talked about doing it again. Aww. Another time.
I love that. I actually think it's really clever. It's so clever that you did both sides of the family together.
Well, I know it's a little bit unusual. I don't think everyone would maybe get away with it. But for us, it worked at this time and place for us, and it worked. And we were very grateful for them for coming. And we all had a great time. So, yeah, so that was my family bit. And it wasn't my Australian bit, but to me, a lot of going to Australia is about family. So you could say that I was warm and I was with my family. So it'll cover it for now.
Now back to the thing of loving it or hating it, where we are this week. I have to say, I kind of skated on that I was falling back in love with Qatar last year, but I was almost too nervous to admit it because, you know, my husband's firm was going through a merger as well, and we were really thinking he was going to lose his job. Like, we were so sure he was going to lose his job, but he didn't. So we're back, and we're very happy to be back and still here. But I had this moment on the weekend with my son where, you know, in the Middle East there's a lot of shopping malls, which I think is due to the heat, and, you know, they're a bit of an escape for everyone. And because the city has kind of exploded over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, it's been, you know, I guess the modernization. And so you tend to forget to go to all those lovely old souks in, you know, the old part of the city to find things. And my son and I went on an adventure after, you know, looking for, because I'd lost my microphone and my headset to do the podcast. We sort of went, okay, I've got to find a microphone. And I could not find one at any of the, you know, the usual suspects, any of the appliance stores that you'd go to in malls, or any of the, you know, they don't have an Apple store here as such, but they have like a fake Apple store, but they didn't have any. But I went to like the sort of seediest, oldest part of the town and found this amazing shop. And my son and I were in there for ages just going, this place is incredible. Like, it had everything, with technology, with microphones and, you know, those poppers that you use in front of microphones, and they had instruments and they had all sorts of stuff. And it was in this really sort of divey part of town, and it just made me remember that you've got to keep exploring. Like, it's really easy as an expat to get settled, and especially, Nikki, like at this 18-month mark where you are, where the newness is worn off and, you know, you're starting to find your favourite coffee shop, your favourite, you know, restaurant, your favourite sort of place to hang out, you've got your gym membership sorted, all that sort of stuff, you can sort of get lulled into this sort of sense of, okay, I've done it now, I've mastered this city. But it was just a really good reminder for me that I've got to make myself get out, explore more and find new things.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's excellent. And I think I saw some very interesting Instagram stories on your Insta feed of your trip to that place.
I always forget to do that. I forget to Instagram story. And I even begin to understand the whole Instagram live thing or even where to go to find the Instagram live thing. But, yes, I do need to remember.
I love Instagram.
Yeah, I love watching other people's. I had this beautiful Instagram live moment with my daughter the other day when my son was watching, and I talked to her and she was at school, hung up. But then my son said, oh, look, Annie's on Instagram live, and she was with a girlfriend and they were watching YouTube, but they were doing a Just Dance, you know, on the Xbox where you can do the Just Dance. Well, they don't have an Xbox. So what they do is they watch one on YouTube and they do it on, you know, standing there in front of YouTube. But it was they Instagram lived it, and I was watching her with her girlfriend, you know, and sort of there they are in the boarding house in their room and they're doing this cute little dance and they keep giggling and laughing and then, you know, sort of doing the bump off of each other. And I was just watching it going, wow, because you don't often get to see those snippets, right? I get the phone calls and where it's just her and I talking, but to actually see her with a friend having fun, you kind of go, oh, okay, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling good about the situation this week.
Very good. Well, there you go. We've run through our first new
We have. Format. And obviously next week when we do this, Nikki, we'll throw in a bit more from other expats, because what are people going to do, Nikki?
I think, Kirsty, people are going to go to the website www.twofatexpats.com and they're going to click on the microphone and they're going to send us a message about one of the things, one of our top broad topic areas and things they want to know more about or things they want to talk about.
Absolutely.
Now, books, movies, telly, podcasts and food, I see. You've thrown recipes in.
I just had to put food in because I have lived off of the community cookbook this last holiday, and I know we've talked about the community cookbook before. I'll put a link on our website for it. But there was one particular recipe that I use it here in Doha and I use it at the beach and it is absolutely sensational. So the community cookbook is a woman called Hetty McKinnon and she has Arthur Street Kitchen. And it's this great story of how she used to deliver salads on her bikes all around the streets of Surry Hills. But this particular salad, fantastic. If anyone's got a pen, write it down, or you can just, you know, scroll back 15 seconds and listen again. But we have two heads of broccoli cut into florets, some virgin olive oil, garlic, capers, chili, chickpeas, spinach leaves, parsley, mint, lemon, a bit of Parmesan cheese, flaked almonds. So they're your ingredients. But you basically char grill your broccoli in the pan, and you'll also throw in your garlic and your capers and your red chili, and then warm up your chickpeas in the same way. Put it into your salad, which is your spinach leaves with the parsley, the mint, and the lemon. And I just maybe not so much grate the Parmesan, but you know what? You peel it with the lemon peeler so you get those nice big fat sort of things of Parmesan cheese and sprinkle some flaked almonds over the top. That salad I just had on rotation just constantly. And my kids eat it. I didn't have anyone who didn't like it. I guess I must have been lucky that I didn't come across a broccoli hater, but it is just the
– oh, what about a caper hater? Capers are gross. Say no to capers.
You can ignore the capers easily, and they just give it that little salty bit. But, yeah, that would be my salad that went on and on and on. And what I've noticed is I actually had it here last night. It's cooler here in Qatar at the moment, so it crosses both – weather conditions, and you can have it hot or cold. Okay, telly, what were you watching on the telly?
Well, I've recently had influenza A. I don't know if you've ever had influenza A, Kirsty. As diagnosed by the German health authority after being swabbed. But I was like flat on my back for 8 days. And most of the time I couldn't even concentrate to watch something. I'd start to watch a show and then I'd fall asleep or have a coughing fit. And then I'd just lose concentration. Anyway, shame on me. I felt very sad for myself. But it was before the sunshine, so it's fine. It was rainy the whole time. But I did watch a bit of TV. Something I watched, Sinner. Have you seen Sinner on Netflix?
No, I haven't, because Sinner is on Australian Netflix, but it's not on Qatar Netflix for some reason.
Oh, and that's why you need a VPN to go to Australian Netflix. Anyway, Jessica Biel is the executive producer and she also starred in it. And it's about Jessica Biel is a young mother who commits a terrible crime on a beach, seemingly out of the blue. And it's the whole story around it. It's a really good sort of thriller / mystery / whatever. Anyway, really, really enjoyed it. It's just an 8-part series. Just there won't be a second season. It's just like a one-off thing made exclusively for Netflix. So it was really good. Highly recommend. The other thing that I saw, which is sort of easier watch, bit of a comedy, funny, called Imposters. Have you seen Imposters at all?
Oh, no, I haven't. And is that a Netflix one?
It's also Netflix. It's a comedy. It's a bit lighter. It starts where you see a guy who's been married for 28 days and he's so in love with his wife, and every day he gives her a gift, which equates to the day of their marriage. And on the 28th day, he goes home and everything's gone. All his safe's empty. His bank account's been emptied. And there is a thing on his fridge in lipstick that says, directs him to a website to go and look at. And he goes to the website and the website says, really sorry, you're a great guy. Don't ever try and find me because XYZ. Bang, bang. So, and it goes on. Anyway, it's comedy. It's funny. It's a bit of a rollicking storyline. So obviously he tries to find her. He finds some other people. They find each other that have also been in exactly the same situation, one girl and one guy. So that three of them have previously been married to the same woman. And then they go and track her down.
Oh,
and
wow.
As a surprise sort of character, Uma Thurman is in it as an enforcer type character. So it's a bit revisiting her Pulp Fiction days. So it's really good. It's definitely worth
a watch. That sounds so good. I'm not sure if that's on our Qatar Netflix, but I'll be having a look tonight to see if I can find it. What we have been watching, though, is I did manage to roll Series 2 of The Crown, which I thought was just as good as Series 1 of The Crown.
Oh, loved
so
it.
Good, wasn't loved it? Like, and, you know, the thing is, the way that The Crown is produced, and for those who haven't seen it, it's based on the life of Queen Elizabeth, and it is a real, I mean, you just want to believe that they've got it all correct, don't you? Because they're such good storytellers.
Well, it sends you diving into, you sort of Google, like, did this happen? And did this happen? Who is
this
person?
Yeah, everybody says that, don't they? Absolutely. That after each episode they go, wow, you know, was Princess Margaret really married to a bisexual man? And did he really do that? And yeah, it is. It's really, really interesting. Anyway, I thought it was beautifully produced. And I actually have no fear, because like they've said that they won't be using the same actress for Elizabeth next. And I'm not sad about it, which I think just shows how well produced it is, because as much as I loved her, I have complete faith that they know what they're doing. That, you know, that they need to have someone different.
I think it's the most expensively produced TV series of all time.
Wow.
I think that's right.
Yeah, you can see how that could be, couldn't you? Look, we have just started, because it's just come out this last weekend, Everything Sucks on Netflix. I've started watching that with the boys, which is the one which is set in, I think it's about 1996 or somewhere around there, high school in America with the AV group, which for those who don't speak American schools, it's the audio visual group. And it, for watching with the kids, it has been fantastic. It's not a little kids watch, because they're, is, you know, it's kind of based around sort of 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds, but I think it's perfectly fine for my Mr. 11 to watch because he's the youngest of four and he's been psychologically damaged already by having to watch age-inappropriate television with his older siblings. But I think it's good and we're three episodes in and I'm enjoying it. It's not as good as, in my personal view, as good as Stranger Things was because that was so gripping and out of this world, but it kind of has hints of that where you've got the nostalgia, you know, you're listening to the music and you're rolling along with, you know, watching their lifestyle. Have you started it yet?
I did see the first episode and then I haven't seen anything else, but yes, I did see it.
I kind of watched the first episode and thought, oh, I'm not sure about this, whether I really want to go through with this. But now that we're on sort of episode three, I'm really loving it. The other one that I watched, and this was solely because Mr. 14 insisted that we had to watch it, is The Good Place. Have you seen The Good Place with Ted Danson? It took me a while to get into it, I have to say.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. But once you get in it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And the whole premise of The Good Place, I think, have you talked about it before on the podcast, Nikki?
I think I might have, but I can't actually remember. But I certainly watched it.
So the premise is the main character dies and she's naughty, selfish, self-absorbed, you know, not a great person, and lands in heaven but isn't meant to be there, but there's a twist. And I don't think I can say too much without sort of giving the whole game away. But that's sort of been the telly I've been watching. Movies, all of my movies have been on a plane, obviously. And I watched Battle of the Sexes with Billie Jean King. Have you watched that?
I watched that on a plane as well.
Did you? Now, do you know what Billie Jean King's maiden name was?
No. What was it? Was it Rice? No, I don't know.
It was Moffat. You were so close. It was Nicky Moffat. It was Moffat.
Ah, was that in the movie? I did watch it when I was napping, so I'm not sure that I saw
it. No, it definitely wasn't. It was not in the movie. I just noticed because I went to Wiki because I wanted to go and find out, you know, when you watch a movie like that and you're like, oh, I need to go back and find out the details of this. I noticed that she was Billie Jean Moffat before she was Billie Jean King. But I thought that was okay. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was okay. Now, have you seen Victoria and Abdul?
I have not. I have read about it, but I haven't seen it. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was cute. I didn't know lots and lots about Queen Victoria, and I thought the story was cute, and, you know, it did, you know, make you want to go back and look. It one of those ones where the story behind the movie is Queen Victoria, you know, obviously lived this incredibly extravagant life as a queen where she's constantly presented with gifts and treats and dinners and sort of celebrations. And she's given a gift from India, and the gentleman that gives it to her is he's been sort of shipped over from India to hand it to her because they wanted someone tall and he fit the bill. And, you know, it sort of shows you the pomp and circumstance that goes behind that. But they form this relationship, which is quite out of the ordinary because she was at that stage old and grumpy and disinterested. But he is a Muslim Indian, and so there's, you know, there's a whole sort of story behind that as well with the relationship between India and Britain at the time. But it's the revolt amongst her staff and the blatant sort of racism of how her family even cope with her spending so much time sort of consulting with this Indian man. He brings his wife to the country on her request and his mother-in-law. But, yeah, it was interesting. I didn't think it was brilliant, but I thought it was definitely worth the watch. Books, what are you reading, or as you tend to do, Nikki, what are you audio booking?
Well, I've joined a book club, Kirstie Rice, and so now I will be doing that every once a month. I'll have a new book that I'll be reading / listening to. And I read, which is so unusual for me because I never do it after I see a movie. I never read a book after I've seen a movie, but the book club I joined had read Remains of the Day, so I read that for the first time.
And are you finding that it's really forcing you? How many have you been to? How many book clubs now?
I've two It's my second this month. So yes, correct. So just two books so far.
That's fantastic. Okay. Our book group is reading I Am Malala. So I will report back on that. Podcast Nikki, I went back to Conversations with Richard Feidler and listened to this great podcast called Reinventing Susan, A Study of Survival. And it's the story of Susan Duncan, who was a ex sort of magazine editor whose husband died. And it really was, he was the great love of her life. And it really was one of those moments where you go, God, I think I'd just curl up in a ball and, you know, never come out again. But it was sort of the story of how she reinvented herself. She quit her job. She moved to a different location, took herself completely out of her comfort zone. And it was a really good story of someone who'd just taken on the challenges of life. And I think it probably appealed to me because of her age. Like nothing really seemed to stop her. And when they kind of get to where she is in life now, she's probably around sort of retirement age, and she's just, you know, built a huge big house at a time on this, you know, beautiful sort of piece of land in a time that I guess others would maybe be focused on downsizing and retirement. I just really found her quite sort of uplifting, but also I think that might be one that other expats might enjoy, just for that whole reinvention and that it's never too late and that change can be great.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to go listen to that one. That sounds very good. Podcast, I've been listening to Global Pillage, which is done by Deborah Frances White, who is from The Guilty Feminist, who I love her in The Guilty Feminist. But it's interesting. It's done as sort of like a game show sort of thing. So it's one of those sort of general interest things. It's global, so it's international. So they ask questions of, there's two teams of comedians and they go against the audience. So they ask questions and then, you know, the comedians try and answer, and then if they don't know, the audience answers, and then everyone gets points or whatever. But I like it because it's different. I like it because it's sort of a game show format, but it's interesting and it's funny. And the comedians are always interesting in that they have to be diverse. They can't just be, so if you're a straight white comedian, you're not getting on the show. So basically that's how it works. So you have to, when you sign up and Deborah Frances White interviews you, she says, and how are you diverse? Why are you different? Why are you interesting? And they have to answer. Her gig is that she is diverse because she's a female game show host and they're always male.
Oh, it sounds
so
good.
I really like that. Yeah. And it's international. So that's the other thing. So it sort of appeals to a broad range of people.
Okay, Nikki, we've been talking for over an hour. So I think it's probably time to pull up stumps. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we're done. Time to go. Okay.
All right. So I will talk to you. Now, I don't think we'll leave it a week. Maybe I'll talk to you in a few days and we can try the format again, and I will have done budget night by then and we can sort of crack on.
Okay, perfect. Sounds like a plan. Speak to you later.
Bye.